on Hard Facts. I don't just bring you the news, I bring you the newsmakers.
Consul General of the U.S. Consul General in Lagos, giving her first ever interview in Nigeria, Claire Pierangelo.
They come to me because they know Lagos is listening.
I love the way you engage Nigeria, especially if this is who I call to Supreme Nigeria. They still be among Nigeria than you and
I. We talk to the newsmakers.
The Special Assistant to the President on Digital and New Media, Tolu Ogunmesi. Frank Mba has just walked into the studio. Yewande Sadiku. Yewande is the Executive Secretary of NIPC, the Nigeria Investment Promotion Council. The Senior Special Assistant to President Muhammadu Buhari on Public Affairs, Mr. Ajuri Ngelale.
We talk to captains of industry.
She's the founder and CEO of Tomato Joss, one of Nigeria's biggest agro-industrial businesses. Her name is Mira Mehta. He's been selected for Forbes 30 Under 30. His name is Eniolua Aboyeji.
We talk to the experts.
He's the chief economist at Business Day. He's a big friend of the show. Don't so quickly.
He's the head of the Department of Molecular Biology and Biotechnology at the Nigerian Institute of Medical Research, NIMR. Dr. Bamidele Walofo.
And we talk to you.
I found Mr. Usman through Hard Facts. He's a listener. He sent us a WhatsApp message when we were talking about the scanners at the ports.
Give me your afternoon and I'll give you the answers.
Why isn't cultural tourism bigger in Nigeria? We have such a rich culture in this country. Rich cultures, I should say. But for whatever reasons, we've not yet cracked how to get rich from the cultures. That's very different from what we see in many other countries where they use the unique events and locations from their culture as tourist attractions to get foreign revenue into the country. Which brings me to today's big hard fact. Before the pandemic, the British royal family was generating over 1 trillion naira annually in revenue for the UK, most of which was from tourism. We talked about this 2 Mondays ago on the big weekend. That's cultural tourism. Those people coming to the UK because of the royal family, they're not coming to see something natural like mountains or waterfalls. They're not coming to take part in some modern activity like rides in an amusement park. They're coming to experience a piece of culture that is centuries old. People are very willing to spend time and money to travel and immerse themselves in somebody else's beliefs, somebody else's traditions, somebody else's institutions. It just has to be something unique, something memorable, something cool. Nigerian culture is unique and memorable and cool. 2 weekends ago, the coronation of the new Olu of Wari took the nation by storm. We even had people watching internationally. That's why I'm having this conversation with you today. People all around the world watched that event on YouTube, and so many of them had such glowing things to say. I'm showing you some of the sites from that day on our live stream, if Tunde can find some of them. Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. People had glowing things to say about the culture. They were blown away by the pageantry, by the history, by the fact that this was coming from a place like Nigeria and not the usual suspects. People are always looking for something new. They've heard about Buckingham Palace and the changing of the guards. They've heard about the pyramids in Egypt. They've heard about the Great Wall of China. You name it, they've heard it. But many of them were just hearing about the Olu of Wari. So imagine all the people who, after watching that coronation, started saying to themselves, maybe I should go and visit Nigeria. I want to find out more, you know, about the Ewere people. Is it Ewere or Ewere? Ewere people. And their monarchy and their traditions. But this hasn't been happening in the past. We've always had these beautiful, rich cultures, and these cultures all have amazing events and spectacles, not just coronations. So right now in the East, they're doing New Yam Festival in different parts of the East. We've got festivals, we've got masquerade processions, we've got rites of passages, we've got all kinds of things going on, right? We've got initiation ceremonies. We also have World Heritage Sites, and yet we haven't been able to create a popular, robust cultural tourism industry here, like the ones in Egypt or Cambodia or the UK or even Ghana. Ghana makes a lot of money from tourism. You go to Ghana and they make you walk the path that slaves had to walk into the tunnels where slaves were kept, all the way to the seashore from which slaves were taken from the coasts of Accra to Europe and America. And I want us to answer the question, why? Why are we not doing this? I know that some of you will automatically say, Sandra, can we do this when they are headsmen? But think about this. Even 15 years ago, before Boko Haram was an issue, we didn't have much of a cultural tourism sector. So yeah, insecurity may be a factor today, but it wasn't a factor before. What factors do we have today that were also factors yesterday? Let's talk Lagos. What do you think has stopped Nigeria from becoming a cultural tourism powerhouse? We have one number working, unfortunately. We're still waiting for our service provider to get our female line back up. But everybody, try and call us on 0700-993-993-993. What do you think has stopped Nigeria from becoming a cultural tourism powerhouse? If you can't get through via the phone lines because it's too packed, go ahead and give us a call. Go ahead and send us a message via WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 080-959-75805. Patrick is in Victoria Island. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, hello, Sandra. Good evening.
Good evening. That's a new one. Welcome. Go ahead.
Why?
Why?
If I want to answer with one word, it's thoughtlessness.
Okay.
Thoughtlessness is the principal reason why cultural, even natural tourism is not happening in this country. And then under thoughtlessness, there are other factors, sub-factors. One of them is roads. We have very poor road network. For example, the same slave trade route is in Badagry, but there is no road to go there. Insecurity is the least of all. Number two is traffic flow. It will take you 5 minutes, 10 minutes to drive from point A to point B when you Google search your journey in the West. Mm-hmm. But if you Google search Lagos Island to Etimiyan Crescent, if Google tells you it's 15 minutes, in real time, it could take you 2 hours. Number three is the hotel's environment. Most of the hotels that we have, they do not meet. They don't fall into either first, second, or third star standard.
Okay.
And the number four, where I will just stop, is our government is not serious, so the people are also not serious. But the umbrella that carry all of them is...
Oh, I think we lost the connection to Patrick there. I think maybe he wanted to wrap by saying that the umbrella that carries all of them there is thoughtlessness. Patrick, thank you very much for calling. What do you think about Patrick's answers? Do you agree with him? Do you disagree with him? Why do you think Nigeria hasn't become a cultural tourism powerhouse. What do you think has stopped Nigeria from becoming a cultural tourism powerhouse? Ikechukwu is in Ocha Farm. Ikechukwu, welcome.
Sister Sandra, Goziwagi. Number one, if you remember what happened after Ramadan 2019 in Kano, where they say gorilla cost swallow 6.9 million. Corruption is number one. Number two, oil money. Number three, our government is not investing in tourism in Nigeria. The first caller have tried, the second caller have tried. So let them invest more money in tourism and make it attractive. Are you hearing me?
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, I'm hearing you. Go ahead.
Another one, the main key points on things that is happening in Nigeria concerning our tourism is Boko Haram. So they call them bandits now. Boko Haram, terrorism, and herdsmen. Because I cannot go Ubuntu Kacho Ranch or Kano or Mabila Plateau and Boko Haram go kill me. So that is insecurity. That is the number one, utmost something that is affecting tourism in Nigeria. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ikechukwu. Remember when we started, I said you can shout insecurity, but insecurity wasn't bad 15 years ago. You know what was bad 15 years ago? Cultural tourism. Insecurity may be a factor today, but before Boko Haram was an issue, we did not have much of a cultural tourism sector. Why? What has stopped Nigeria from becoming a cultural tourism powerhouse? What part of your own culture do you think would be a tourist attraction if taken seriously? What part of it? What part of your own culture do you think would be a tourist attraction if taken seriously and properly marketed to the world? 99.3, hello.
Hello, my excellency President Sandra.
Good to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me. My name is Azubike. I'm coming from Radio Shady.
Welcome, Azubike.
Thank you. Coming about this, talking about tourism center that we, some of our community have. Like in my own community where I come from, the Imo State, like Professor Zubita, like this August that just passed, just few days ago, we have to have some culture. They call Odene and Irijofu. Are you getting me?
Irijofu is on now.
Yes.
Has he finished?
We have already done our own.
Okay.
This we do in August.
Okay.
So when it comes to that particular event, we used to have so many people that come from different areas and different parts of the world to come and watch our EG festival. And when it comes there, the festival also gives us a lot of sense of belonging, loving one another. Like those days, you used to see people that you used to call Ubuago.
Azubike? Oh, we lost our connection. Call us back if you can. Idris is a first time caller. Hello, Idris.
Good afternoon. I mean, good evening.
Good evening. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for the program right now. I think my takes on this is the first thing that I would rather say is our poverty nation and perhaps our leadership, the leadership role, play a very, very negative effect. We do not have a leader that will reposition that. Maybe because of the advent of the oil discovered. So we never pay any attention to that particular sector. We have quite a number of them in the country that could give us a good or that can put us on the edge of tourism in the country. One good example is this Calabar, this slave trade center in Calabar. I was there on some certain occasion when I made a visit there. That is a very good location. Olumo Rock is there. So all we need to do is just to kind of use technology to bring this thing out. But who are those to do it? The leadership role are not there. Each and every one of us today wake up, think of how to put food on our table. meaning the poverty is driven into everybody. All we think about is, how do we fit? Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Idris says we're all busy thinking about how do we feed. Osai AGK on Facebook says our politicians are too greedy. Anthony Imafidon says the problem with Nigeria is that all the states in Nigeria rely on the center. They all run to Abuja to get handouts. If the states were to be independent, they'll look for ways to generate money. Kano has very beautiful historic places. Benin City has places that tourists would love to visit. I live in the United States now, and a lot of people want to visit Africa, but they cannot go to Nigeria because of insecurity. Nigeria needs a total rethink. States need to look inward. Anthony Imafidon, thank you very much for your message. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Very well. It's unfortunate we find ourselves in this situation.
Could you turn your radio down for me? Could you turn your radio down? All right, go ahead.
Crude oil. And like some other people are saying, leadership is not creative. They are so docile that you begin to think, where did these kind of people come from? One of your sports analysts, what is her name?
Sarafina.
Very funny girl. He said, they know they put hand for pocket, they climb ladder. The issue is that we are not ready, our people are not creative. One, there is no root. Two, there is no power. There is no structure that make people believe that, yes, if I'm my leader, I have to do this. If I don't do it, I'll run into problem. Look at your service provider. How many days now the female line is not working? Where things are working properly? Do you think that the service provider will go free for disrupting your activities? Just tell me. Answer me. Because we don't have any good structure that will penalize people who feel that they can do anything and get away with it. This is the kind of problem we have. No roads. You understand? No electricity, no telecommunication links and all that to all those kind of interior places. Like somebody said in Calabar, talking about the tourist site in Calabar. Go there now. There is no service. If you call from here to that place now, nobody will answer you because those structures are not there. So how do you reconcile that? Everybody is running to the center because we have lousy leaders in all our states. Lousy leaders. And I think that the issue there is that they go to the center and line up and collect money. The depth of our problem is not allowing states to control their resources. Let every state control her resources. God has blessed this country immensely. This is the biblical land of Canaan. You understand?
Okay.
Let them do something.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. You know, while he was talking, I was thinking, hold on, maybe it's the Igbo woman in me. But I was thinking, do you know that we could make money from our dysfunction? Imagine selling a package to people to come and experience Nigeria the way it is, with no light and bad road. Live like a Nigerian for 7 days, give you a package where you go and live is somewhere, you know, very rough in Lagos where, you know, they will obtain you under the bridge, things like that, you know. Because, I mean, there are people who live for that kind of thing. There are people who want to visit places where they'll get those kinds of experiences. It's a business idea. You could, I don't know, do something with it. I was having a conversation with my partner the other day, and we were talking about, I mean, some people who enjoy, you know, the people, I don't want to say, you know, which people, but some people who enjoy certain kinds of experiences. What if you sold to them a masquerade tour where masquerades would chase them and flog them? They would pay money for that if you package it well. You don't need road for that one. You don't need light for that one. You don't need all of that. Because I'm thinking about my mom's village. My mom is from Udi. And in Udi, they have a masquerade called Odo. Odo is a very sacred masquerade. Very tall, very huge. And, you know, women were never around when Odo was around. You know, Odo had a cult. Not cults in the way that you people think of cults, but, you know, cult in the way that there were people who had to take care of the masquerade, take care of the shrine, that sort of thing. And it was only men, right? And when Odo was around, only men were around allowed to be available. What if there was a way to turn that into a revenue generating, what's the word I'm looking for now, avenue. You know, what if I mean, that could make money for Enugu State. It could make money for the UD local government, you know? And there are lots of other masquerades like that. The jele, the big ostrich, the big bird that dances and then lays eggs. These are some things that I would love to have like a week-long celebration of, and people from all over the world will come in to experience these things and experience them the way Nigerians would experience them. There's even a fancy name for it these days. Some people say it's worrying, but I say, hey, whatever generates revenue for you as a country, it's called conflict tourism. That's what it's called, conflict tourism. Simply when countries urge their citizens to visit destinations, or not visit destinations, where they have, you know, tough situations. It's typically for political or military argument, you know, but you can widen the meaning to include places like Nigeria where, you know, insecurity is the order of the day. I don't know. I'm just thinking aloud. I haven't given this a lot of thought, really, you know. Just tell me what you think. But that's an aside. The main thing I'm talking to you about is our culture. Because like I said, very rich. Very unique, very memorable, very cool. Very cool. Why have we not become a cultural tourism powerhouse? Hello, thanks for calling.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Ooh. I'm sorry, Sandra. How are you?
It's okay. I'm fine. What's your name?
Yeah, this is Alex. We really missed our line.
I've missed you. Welcome.
Yeah. So I want to say, you see, tourism is something like, let me put it this way. One of the reasons why people feel endangered in certain areas, what you just said is quite brilliant. But I want to ask you, ordinary, something like they stole my wallet, you go to the police station to report. I'm talking of a tourist who comes to visit.
Mm-hmm.
They stole my wallet. He has all my credit cards. He has everything,
mm-hmm.
my passport and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to the police. You know how harrowing that experience alone can be. You see, just that is one of the reasons why some people will never visit some countries.
Mm.
We have a dysfunctional system. I know people have talked about security in the broad sense, like, you know, bandits and all of those things. No, I'm talking of simple things by international standards that you walk into a new country as a tourist.
Could we package, you know, that and sell?
Pardon me?
Could we package that and sell? Get harassed by Nigerian police?
Nigeria police that will help you find your wallet?
Let's ask ourselves.
Now, Sandra, you know these things now. Isn't it Nigeria police that you go and report that they stole your wallet?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Could we package
I've
that experience and sell?
I've had an experience with Nigeria police where they stole my wallet. I lost money. So quite some dollars in my wallet. Do you know that in that instance, mm-hmm. at the police station in Ikeja, that one on in GRE, mm-hmm. you know, they were asking me to still pay money. I said, oh, God, I beg. I'm telling you that they just stole my wallet. I got nothing. I mean, it's harrowing. Thanks, Sandra.
Thank you very much for calling us. Okay, let me quickly go to WhatsApp before we take a break. We've got a few seconds before a break coming up. And on WhatsApp, Sandra, the factor is that there was and there is oil money to spend without putting on the thinking cap. That's Dahiru with that message. Dahiru, thank you very much. I think our problem is that all commissioners and ministers are yet to know the specifications of their job. Mercy from Ikorodu says, well, Mercy, there are some ministers and commissioners whose specific job is actually tourism, right? I mean, tourism is the job designation for some specific ministers and commissioners. It's not for all of them. So perhaps those ones don't know. Shem from Agungi says, in his opinion, cultural tourism is also down because we become too religious as a people. If I want to explain, it will take too long. All right. I'm sure Daddy Freeze will like that particular example. He's listening at the moment. We'll take a break, Lagos. We'll be right back. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili.
Listening to your number one station for talk.
Your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. It's 5:33. Why isn't cultural tourism bigger in Nigeria? the land of 100 kings. If I were the culture and tourism minister, I would run an ad campaign about Nigeria with that as the slogan. The land of 100 kings. Most cultural tourists are from the West, and in most Western nations, historically, you had very few different ethnic groups. In fact, most Western European nations are ethnic nation states. So just one indigenous tribe, and therefore just one king. Contrast that with Nigeria. By one calculation, we have more indigenous languages than any other countries. Many languages, many tribes, many kings. That's a selling point for cultural tourism. Imagine a travel package that takes the tourists from Lagos, where they meet the Oba, to Ife, to kneel before the Oni, to Benin, to venerate the Oba, to Okrika, to hail the Amayanabo, to Opobo, to see King Jaja's heir, to Onitsha, to greet the Obi, to Calabar, to honor the Obong, to Boronu, to visit the Shehu, to Sokoto, to meet the Sultan, the successor of Usman Danforio. Even if they didn't meet the kings, imagine visiting all those places, seeing the artifacts, meeting their servants, watching a Durbar or two, a boat regatta. Imagine what that will do for those same people who spent ₦1 trillion on the Queen of England. The land of 100 kings. We really have something to sell in our culture. The question is, how do we sell it? And why haven't we done it before now? And no, don't call me and tell me about insecurity. Insecurity is too lazy an answer. Insecurity is the answer right now, and I agree with you that it's a big issue right now. But for years, it wasn't this bad. Why haven't we done it before now? Do you have something in your culture that you believe that people would pay to see? People could enjoy seeing if it is packaged nicely? What part of your own culture? I don't know where you're from, but tell me where you're from. Tell me what part of your own culture you think would be a tourist attraction if it is taken seriously and if it's properly marketed to the world. What part of your own culture do you think would be a tourist attraction if taken seriously? Do you think Western tourists will pay to visit the land of 100 kings? 0700-993-993-993-0700-993-993-993. WhatsApp is available as well. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. I want to read your thoughts on Facebook as well. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. We're streaming on YouTube, so if you leave us a comment there, I'll also take it. We've got Tony Nidimu on the line. Tony, how are you? Good to have you on the show.
Good evening, Sandra.
Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm really enjoying your show. I think I'm a first-time caller on your show.
I'm glad to have you on the show today.
Yes. Concerning your topic and your discussion, I think the issue about tourism in Nigeria is, one, the government have plans on tourism,
okay,
but the execution is wrong, and we have greedy and selfish government officials in charge of those tourism and sector.
Okay.
I think what they do is somebody will want to bring up an initiative that will only last for the time he or she is in position. And after that, there is no continuity. And that kills that dream. It's not that they don't have any initiative or any idea concerning this tourism thing, but it is all about selfishness and greed. And that is why you find out that whatever idea or initiative they have concerning tourism, it only ends when that political position ends with that person that is in that position.
Mm.
And that's why most times, in fact, I love your idea about this 100 kings of a thing. I think if these government officials are listening to your show, I think this should be an idea they should buy into and make it a continuous something. Thank you very much. You are doing great in your show.
Thank you very much. You see, this is not even something that government needs to do. It can be, for those of you who have tourism organizations, travel agencies and stuff like that, it's something that you could package. Now, I don't know if it could work right now, considering the security situation on ground at the moment, but we're trying to have this conversation without looking at the security situation because, like I said, 15 years ago, Boko Haram was not a problem in Nigeria. The banditry, the kidnapping, the terrorism was not a problem in Nigeria. And still, our cultural sector wasn't a powerhouse. Why? Let's come to WhatsApp where we have a few more comments. Abiola from Lekki says, Nigeria is not tourist friendly. We should develop our infrastructure to make commuting and residing in hotels and accommodation fun. Even as a Nigerian, it is cheaper for you to go and visit centers in Europe than in Nigeria. By the time you cost air and land transportation, now our senators will say there's no network in our towns. All right. Thank you very much. Daddy Freeze sent me a message on WhatsApp as well, and he says that the reason that we're where we are is, number one, religion. All our cultures and traditions have been termed evil or demonic by religion. Number two, insecurity, Boko Haram herdsmen, bandits. Number three, lack of foresight. Daddy Freeze, thank you so much for sending your thoughts in. And thank you for listening. We've got Pascal in Surulere. Hello, Pascal. Welcome.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening. Welcome.
Yeah, this is Pascal. I love your show. I want to contribute for what you said.
Please, go ahead.
About the culture.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, me, I'm from Imo State.
Okay.
Imunaha, precisely.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a culture like Igwekala. That Igwekala, then we used to get, like, every year we do masquerade festival.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as you say, if the government, from Imo State can be, put eyes in that culture.
Mm.
Eh?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the kind of billion they would get from there.
Mm-hmm.
That I can't tell you that in this part of Africa, they have that kind of culture in my village.
Mm.
Where you see, when they celebrate, they used to have some gasket. They do that. They pour water on it.
Okay.
Yeah, when they pour water on it, you will be seeing the water. But so gasket and I have a basket. You will not see water coming down from that basket.
So they will pour water in a basket, and the basket will carry the water.
Yes.
People would pay to see that.
Eh?
People would pay money to see that. I think.
Yes. Now, if you see, they do it every like. When I was small, they used to do it in different parts of village.
Mm.
This village hosts this one.
Mm.
Maybe next year, another part of, but the same village, they host their own.
Mm.
With the masquerade. You'll be seeing the masquerade. The masquerade, they have like 8 or 7 masquerades you'll be seeing different. The team has one specific something you love.
Mm.
People from all over the world, like my village people, all over the world, like when they're from Spain coming back, they will carry the woman. They will carry their wives coming. Yes.
That sounds pretty cool. Pascal, thank you for sharing that story with me. It sounds like a pretty cool story. What part of your culture do you think we could push as something that people should come and pay for? And more importantly, why isn't cultural tourism bigger in Nigeria? That's my big question for the day. Chinedu Onoha says, these things can work, but the government is not promoting it enough. My uncle convinced his Canadian friend to come to Nigeria. I picked him up from the airport, and for 3 days he spent in Lekki, he spent over 500,000 naira on hotels, food, and generally catching fun. Before Before then, he spent Christmas in my village in Imo State. He had so much fun that he promised to come back, but coronavirus prevented him. He said he didn't know Nigeria was so much fun, and all he heard about Nigeria was insecurity. Imagine if our government were to explore this area. Do you know how much we would generate? Osai AGK says, Enugu Ezike masquerade dance in Enugu State. Chinedu Onoha also says, Oguta in Imo State is a beautiful place for these ideas. They have a rich cultural heritage and a beautiful lake as a side attraction, but the government will never look that way. You know, for a while there, during the Calabar Carnival, when Donald Duke was the governor, Cross River. Cross River was generating some income, with that carnival before the successive governors came in and made a mess of it. But, I mean, when Donald Duke was there, it was something to look forward to. People from all over the world were flying into Cross River for the Calabar Carnival, right? The Christmas Carnival. It was a huge festival. So for a while there, you know, it looked like we were going to get it right. So it does need government, because, I mean, like I said earlier on, if I were the tourism minister, it's an ad campaign I would pursue. The land of 100 kings. Let's talk to Uche in Ikeja. Uche, hello.
Andrea, you kept me on the phone for long.
Welcome. Unfortunately, your line is even breaking up. Perhaps call us back. I know how that can be. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Welcome. What's your name, sir?
Yeah. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, my name is Dodi.
Cody, good to have you on the show.
Yeah, I'm calling from Ikotu.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been listening to the callers. Mm-hmm. Many of them are blaming it on government, on what the state should have done, what the state didn't do, insecurity. I don't think that is the reason why tourism is not.
Okay.
So I think I had the opportunity to have worked with them, which even led me to establish hotels around that the Koto area.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes,
I remember when I was working in the church there, every week we have over 5,000 foreigners that come to synagogues.
Mm.
And that there can be no greater tourism. That was the religious tourism.
Mm-hmm.
And let us break it down. Say, for example, after that 500 people that come to synagogues, let's say they come with $500.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you multiply $5,000 by that amount and by 54 weeks in a year, you'll be having minimum of about $135 million.
Mm.
That is just one church. I'm just using, so I know officially the people, I remember as an usher there, we have 3,000 officials that the church invites. Wow. Not the one that the church did not invite.
Mm-hmm.
So Lagos State government did not put money in there. There was nothing in the Lagos State government. Even the road is bad. At times the man had to patch the road. And they will tell you that you need to take permission from the local government for you to be able to do that route.
Mm.
Around that area, most of the landlords, they put their tenants. You see, a landlord would just buy, I pass my neighbor generator. And what it does is it buy two foam, put those two foam in the room, put fan with a generator, and you collect 3,000 naira every night. If you want to book a hotel in the week, if you come on Thursday, nobody will give you a hotel. You will pay for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So you can imagine. So just saying, government, what we need are just visionary persons. Not only necessarily government. People who are visionary can do it. So everything we blame it on government. No. You see, just one person did that. And if we have 10 or 15 persons that do that in Nigeria, you know what the foreign investment that will bring into Nigeria.
Got it. Thank you so much for calling. Well, we still need government because there are some bottlenecks that only government can remove. Chidebere Ogugwa says, Sandra Dejo. Oh, that's a good one. I haven't heard that in a long time. Cultural tourism in Nigeria will remain a dead story as long as the stereotyped stories of Nigeria continue to strive. Let us retell the stories about Nigeria by laying emphasis on the beautiful side and not only the dark side. For me, I am a proud son of the ancient town of Okwa, so I am an Ezigbo Onyoka Nasoenwe. Nasoenwe. I don't know. So it doesn't have the tonation mark, so I don't know which one is which. Sandra, I'm no longer in the University of Nigeria. I'm now in Lagos working in Ikeja. Oh, congratulations, Chidebere. I'm very happy for you. All right, let's take a look at messages on WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Goke from the UK says, we're now deeply rooted in foreign religions, and these have marked our traditional festivals as demonic. All right. Sandra, I need to bring this to your notice. Policemen from Ogudu and Alakpere have started searching people's phones at that Abiola Garden site, all in the name of stop and search. They have someone that is specialized in searching phones, and they have someone that will be watching in case you're doing any video. Well, thanks for bringing that to the attention of Lagos. We've got Upo annual masquerade carnival is massive in Anambra State. That's a message from Val. Val, thank you very much. We've got someone who says, this is an assignment to every Nigerian photographer, no matter what part of the country they're from, to promote Nigerian culture with their photography and more of street photography. If I am with that message there. Nigerian government needs to connect all the urban and rural area roads together and make them accessible. Secondly, that sector lacks visionary leaders or ministers. Thirdly, Nigeria's constitution needs to be amended to enable individuals or groups or private companies to come into that sector. Amichi with that message there. Amichi, thank you very much. This one says, Sandra, read my message. Okay, let me see. Donald Duke started with Cross River from Calabar all the way to Obudu. I'm partly from Cross River, Dubani precisely. My mom's family house is 20 minutes bike ride to Tinapa Resort. Maintenance has always been the issue, from the Calabar Carnival to the resort visits and all. Creativity and continuity is our issue. Inu Gep in Yako local government, still in Cross River, there's the Leboku Festival that also serves as the New Yam Festival. They need international exposure. Thank you so much, Xavier, for your message. Xavier is in Wagada. Let's take a look at other... Sandra, I know many people will object to your program on Isheshe and Yoruba cultural values weeks ago. Be that as it may, Nigerians will run such a project down. If masquerades, God's grooves, ancient sites become tourist places, wouldn't we Nigerians label them satanic places? Ademo Moses with that message. Ademo, thank you very much. Well, personally, I'm a huge fan of our traditional religions. I'm a huge fan of our traditional religions, huge fan of some of our traditional practices. Some of them are beautiful, they're gorgeous. Some of them are archaic and do not belong in the 21st century, but some of them are really gorgeous, and I believe that we need to find ways to put them on the global stage, especially now that Nigeria is on the global stage more and more. We'll take a final call from Emmanuel. Do we have time for a final call? We have 1 minute. I hope Emmanuel is still there. Emmanuel, are you there?
Good evening, Sandra.
Good evening. We've got 1 minute.
Yeah, thank you. Number one is a lack of foresight on the set of our leaders.
Okay.
The only foresight they have is to embezzle money. That is number one. Then number two is a discovery of oil.
Mm.
When they discover oil in the Niger Delta, they abandon everything. You know, even we have many, you know, attractive centers in this country, as far as I'm concerned. But when, I mean, oil came now, they all abandon all that for easy money. Just like Yahoo boys are now. Are they looking for money? No, they don't want to sell themselves. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Emmanuel, for keeping that very short and sweet. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to our friends who want to talk to you about computers and how they can serve you better. But that will be after the news at 6 o'clock. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili on social media, though, if you want to keep this conversation going. Let's take that break. The news is up next. Don't go away.